Hey, Travis Perry here, Travis's Big Idea Podcast. I'm recording this in the morning. I think I'm awake. I hope I'm awake. Anyway, I wanted to talk today about original story world ideas, like I had talked about before, started a part one and go into part two. This part two, I'm going to talk about coronavirus story ideas. And the reason why is because obviously it's an opportunity, if you're a writer, to jump on board the bandwagon of current events and put something out that people might be interested in. And also, recent events are inherently interesting. What's happening? And I think that the near future type story that speculates about what could happen in the future is inherently interesting, though it sometimes gets dated really quickly. As part of making this story series, I'm trying to come up with original ideas. I am giving them away. I'm not saying necessarily this is the greatest idea that anyone ever thought of. Maybe it isn't the greatest. Maybe there are better ideas. But maybe this discussion will inspire you who hear this, come up with your own ideas. So I also want to give credit where credit is due. I talked to my wife, Tabitha Catalan, about these ideas. I also discussed them with Parker J. Cole. I don't think I directly copied anything either of them said, but just to let you know that there was some influence there. There are certain ideas that I picked and some ideas that I did not pick. There are certain ideas that I didn't think were really super important, like some of the conspiracy theories, like the Chinese created the virus, or, you know, the U.S. government did, or government plot, or it's a globalist plot. And I didn't think it was important to talk about, not because maybe those wouldn't be interesting story ideas, but because, well, it's already being talked about on the internet. It's not exactly an original idea for me to bring it up here. And I'm trying to think of things that maybe aren't as common to inspire people to write more original story world ideas. So I didn't want to talk about that. And I didn't also did not want to talk about maybe what we call realistic reactions to coronavirus. Maybe more people might wear masks, for example. Or you might have more sterilization of equipment. Let's say you might have a future in which you have kitchens that are self-sterilizing, or public restrooms are self-sterilizing. True fact, I've already seen something like this in Germany. In Germany, there are public restrooms that are stainless steel on the inside, and they scrub themselves off automatically, or they have a shower between customers that pay to use them. That's something we don't have in the U.S., or I haven't seen it in the U.S. anyway. But that kind of thing where you have automatic sterilization, maybe that's going to come in the future. But you can't build a whole entire story out of this. Also, I want to make a note that when you're talking about story world ideas, generally worse is better, or you want to be able to talk about stuff that is going to be generally gripping or frightening, which may not necessarily be realistic. So the kinds of things I'm going to talk about portray the coronavirus in the worst possible light. Now, obviously, it may be a realistic projection, maybe, that there's going to be a vaccine for the coronavirus, that it's not going to amount to any big deal in the long run, that in a few years, we're not even going to be thinking about it. But if that's the case, some of these ideas that I'm floating here, we can apply it to another virus, an imaginary virus. But most of these story scenarios that I talk about include multiple viruses coming up, or viruses mutating, or being resistant to vaccination, because those create more original or more interesting story world ideas than if, you know, everything is fine and tame and easy to vaccinate. So my story setting idea number one, the first one that I want to offer out of three, is something I'm calling localtopia. Notice I thought I was actually making up a new word, but then I looked for it after the fact and online, and I found a bunch of references to localtopia. It's like a thing, you know, where people get together in businesses, localtopia, and sell locally produced products. And I'm not trying to downplay this movement at all or say anything bad about them. I didn't even know about it, which is, I guess, to my embarrassment. Or maybe I'd heard it somewhere and it processed in the back of my brain and I thought I was coming up with something original, but it was just a memory. I can't say. But I can say I thought I was producing a new word by coming up with localtopia. As a story world idea, this is how localtopia would go. It would look like a paradise. It would look like things are really happy. But the response would be this. Because of the virus, or a series of viruses coming up from other countries and foreign places, some of the green environmental ideas about reducing carbon footprint and having more organic foods get reinforced by the virus. And what winds up happening is that there is no more international commerce. There is no more international, or very little, international travel or international development. People devote themselves to producing things locally and reducing international travel. People mostly stay in a local area. So most of the things that people have would be produced within 100 miles of where they live. And that would prevent the spread of viruses from foreign countries. This is the idea, or how viruses got there. Now, how this would happen how such a story world would produce itself or to have a realistic backstory for it, it would have to come from pretty strict government regulations. The government would start shutting down commerce between other places and start insisting on local sourcing in various ways. It's hard to imagine this kind of thing just developing completely naturally. It would have to be, you know, with codes and so forth. And also it would make it difficult, but not impossible to move from one place to another. You'd have to have a lot of, you know, passport control or local movement control, this kind of thing to restrict movement. Because the way things are now in the world, with the relative ease of getting passports to most country, the relative ease of travel, there's no way that most people are going to stay local. This story would start out, it would seem like it's a paradise, like things are great. Hey, we love local utopia, all these different blocks of places in the United States. But what I would do if I had this story idea, I would introduce the reader bit by bit to the downside. Well, the downside is that not all parts, let's say of the United States, but of any other country, are equally able to produce food. And there's a corridor that goes, say, from Boston to Washington, D.C. That's the biggest urban corridor in the United States. But there's other urban corridors that there's no way you can produce enough food to feed everybody in the area, in the local area of that corridor. Well, if a lot of people died because of a virus, maybe you'd be able to. But the idea is there would be inherent inequality in different regions from region to region. Not all regions would have the same kind of thing. For example, I mean, Washington State would have a lot of apples. In other places, Florida would have a lot of oranges. And people in Washington wouldn't be able to get oranges very easily, hardly ever. And people, you know, in Florida wouldn't be able to get apples. People would have different types of food. They'd also have different cultures. And there are parts of the United States that have steel and iron to build steel buildings, if you wanted to continue to build steel buildings or steel tools. But there are parts of the United States that don't have steel or don't have very much or have limited minerals. So if everything was produced and sourced from nearby places, even assuming there was a lot of recycling and, you know, and even some trade for high-end items, you would have radical differences develop in different places. And what I see in that kind of thing, when humans start to develop different ways of living, they start developing different cultures. And when people start developing different cultures, and there's an excess in some places and not enough in others, people start to resent each other. So this kind of place probably wouldn't form without there being a significant amount of conflict and killing and maybe even genocide. Maybe it wouldn't be that bad, but this kind of story, I would think, could start out imagining everything as utopian or near utopian, but it would be kind of a pseudo-utopia because there'd be an undercurrent of hostility between one locality and the other, and they would be on the verge of war, if not actually go to war. So that would be an interesting story setting, right? Because you want bad things to happen in a story setting, even if you don't want to live it for real. Having bad things happen in a story is inherently much more interesting than everything turning out great from the beginning. So my second idea for an original story setting based on the coronavirus would be what I'm going to call immunity slavery. Imagine that the coronavirus proves to be very difficult to cure. Cure probably isn't even the right word, but it's not that easy to treat. But some people are naturally resistant to it. And the people who are naturally resistant to it, you're able to confer that immunity to people through plasma donations. So some people are completely immune. Some people are resistant. And some people are vulnerable. And in contrast to the last story world idea, which I offered, which we could call maybe a little left wing, this story world idea is a little right wing, or more better said, a criticism of right wing ideas. So in this one, the government doesn't intervene. It doesn't bring up any significant legislation. It kind of caves in, lets people go back to economic life. In this story world, the international commerce and trade that we know today would continue. Except here's the thing, the super rich don't want to be vulnerable to the virus. They want to have the plasma extracted from the small percentage of people that are completely immune. So since they want that, they're going to want to buy that kind of plasma on the open market. But in the story world, there wouldn't be enough available. It's just not common enough. So the very rich in the story would actually be grabbing people with immunity and holding them prisoner to extract their plasma or maybe their organs. Maybe in some cases it would be useful to have their liver or something like that. And maybe breeding people underground. I mean, it's all kind of maybe over the top. But it does happen in the real world that we actually live in, that people are trafficked as slaves for a variety of reasons, a lot for sexual slavery today. And some of the people that do that trafficking are very wealthy. So actually it's not that far-fetched. If people that have immunity could provide immunity to others by some means, and it was only a small group, and then the wealthy could control those people, that's what this story setting would be. So a kind of dystopia in a lot of ways. It would include people working jobs that are dangerous too. So there would be class differences. And one of the things I think would be funny is the people working dangerous jobs proved to be, you know, you just made them all smokers. Because smoking seems to convey a little bit of resistance to coronavirus, or it seems to be the case at this point in which I'm commenting, which is April 30th, 2020. There's been a study that says smokers are more resistant. You wouldn't expect them to be more resistant to COVID-19. But anyway, this kind of dystopian story world is one of the three ideas I'd like to share. So my third story world idea is, we'll call it an artificial intelligence version of COVID-19. So like I said before, the first one is kind of a bash of left-wing ideas to a certain degree, and the second is a bash of right-wing ideas. There's certain ones more middle of the road. It doesn't really hit left or right. But what it imagines is the coronavirus, again, proves persistent, hard to get rid of. And what governments do is they kind of keep the same sort of thing we're seeing right now. They're stay-in-place orders, but vital industries remain open. And more people convert to online work as much as possible. While some people do go back to work physically, overall, what happens is industry starts up again via robotics. So robotics do a lot of the work that's dangerous that a human being does now. And people increasingly work from home with online type work, those who can do so. And so since people don't have money under circumstances like that, what happens is that universal basic income becomes a reality. And people get paid to stay at home, some of the people. And so what happens is that to be able to have human interaction, people increasingly turn to virtual reality, which becomes very common. So in this story world idea, people pretty much stay at home all the time. Very seldom do they meet in public. In fact, that's kind of a thrill-seeking, dangerous thing to go out and see people. People stay at home. The things that they get are delivered by robotic delivery, mostly without human beings. You know, even the post office is replaced by robots and manufactured a lot of times by robots. Yes, some people are involved, but most of the times it's not people moving at all. People stay in limited places, but still have international connections and traffic. Okay, so this is a kind of interesting story world, very different, more cyberpunk, you know, that you spend your time in virtual reality. It'd be interesting to try to even marry a person in the real world. First, you'd know them quite well in virtual reality, I suppose. But the downside of this story world, because it's got to have a downside, right? Or it's not interesting, would be you need quite a lot of artificial intelligence to control the virtual reality worlds and also to handle all the movement of these goods being produced by robots. Well, what happens with virtual reality and artificial intelligence? I mean, there's never been a story that about artificial intelligence going bad, right? Lots and lots of stories feature that kind of thing. Not original at all, but it's kind of original to link it into coronavirus. Coronavirus and staying at home all the time is the engine that drives everybody going to virtual reality on almost a constant basis. So that's a little bit different than some of the other things, or like some of the, like the movie Surrogates. You know, features people going out in robot skin. It's similar, but they wouldn't go out in robot skin. They go out in virtual reality, stay home, receive things. Anyway, so part of that is original, part of it is not, but I hope that you find it interesting. And actually, that might really come true to a certain degree. It could be that more and more industries go with robotics, with robotic deliveries, robotic drivers, and more people wind up staying at home. So in conclusion, I'm offering up these free story world ideas, these three free story world ideas, and I hope you found them entertaining or at least interesting to think about. If you have comments about what I've talked about here, please leave a comment in the post below and click like and share if you want to share. If you ever want to contact me or put in the post, if you're interested in my email and want to contact me and ask me or talk to me about story world ideas, I'd be happy to do that. It's one of those things that genuinely interests me, and I'm not at all bogged down with people asking as of the moment. Maybe that'll change later, but as of now, I'm not, so I'd be happy to share. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. Have a great day.